Well, welcome to another message from God's Word. We're going to be talking about a transition, a great transition that's going to take place in the kingdom of God. And we're in Acts, the 13th chapter and verse number 35. And Paul is preaching in a synagogue. And he went to this synagogue in the earlier part of this chapter, and they seemed to be listening. He told them about Jesus, and they were happy. A lot of the proselytes, many proselytes, believed and heard him readily. And then we're going to find out what happens here with a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Jews. In the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, all the way back in the book of Genesis, in the ninth chapter, it says that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem, saying that Japheth would carry the gospel when Islam, or Israel, that is, laid it down, or the Jews laid it down. In verse 13:35, it says, Diote kai en hetero legeu dosies ton hosion su edain dia theron. And it says, wherefore also in a different place the scriptures say, not he shall give the Holy One. Now it says the Holy One, it is ton hosion. Now it's not really the Holy One. One of the titles of Jehovah is the Merciful One. It is a sacred name of God, the Merciful One. And here, and it comes from the Hebrew, and that's what it is. This quotation from the Old Testament is from the Hebrew Bible. And this is one of the sacred names of Jehovah, one of his titles, the Merciful One. In the Septuagint, Elios is the term. The Holy One would be the Hagios. This is the Hosion, the Merciful One, one of the titles of Jehovah. And the Merciful One belonging to you to see corruption. The Savior, Jehovah, we see that that Adam, God created Adam in his own image. And then he put Adam to sleep, basically a hypnotic trance. He took from Adam woman. And man sinned, and through the woman would become the Messiah. There's a book that I have here in one of the doorway papers that is very good. Man and Adam and in Christ. Man and Adam and in Christ. We're also studying the Noah's three sons. Man and Adam and in Christ. Adam was in Christ. Actually, Eve is in Christ. The human race is in Christ. And one of the titles of that Jehovah, one of the Jehovah titles is the Merciful One. And so it says here, in a different place in the Bible, it says, the Merciful One belonging to you, he shall not see corruption. In other words, he wasn't going to stay in the grave and his body wasn't going to deteriorate. In verse number 36, it says, David, men, gar, idio, gene, hiperetisos, te, to, theo, bole, ekoi, methe, kai, prosetethe, pros tus pateras, auto kai eden, thea fertharan. And it says, but indeed David, in his own generation, having served in or by the counsel of God, it says here he fell asleep or was caused to fall asleep or he died. And he was added to the fathers of him, and he saw corruption. In other words, his body decayed. Verse number 37 says, Hon de hothios egerein uk edain theophetheron. Whom indeed the God he raised up. Now he raised up Jesus Christ out of the dead ones, and not to see corruption. Not to see corruption. Not to see the Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to be crucified, actually. We are born to die and see corruption. Jesus Christ, even though he was going to die on the cross of Calvary, was not born to die and see corruption. His body would never corrupt because it was a perfect body. It was a body like Adam's body was before he sinned. 13:38 now, it says, Noston un esto himen andres adelphoi hote dia tuto himen aphasos hamartion karangalete kai apo ponton un uk adinathete in nomon mosios dia kai tene. En tuto pas ho pistion de caio te. De caio te. Therefore, having known, he shall be to you men and brethren, that through this one, this very one, this tuto here, this very one, to ye aphasis. That means the sending away of sins. The sending away of sins. Now, the Jews looked at the scapegoat as the one that took away their sins. On the Day of Atonement, they would lay their hands upon two goats. One goat was to be sacrificed and die, and one goat was to be set free. Now this, the goat that was set free was taken out in the wilderness and turned loose. And they did not want him to come back because he would bring their sins back to them. So now what Paul is saying here is that Jesus is our scapegoat. You know, in the Old Testament where you had the Day of Atonement, you had the scapegoat, our scapegoat is really Jesus. And he is not going to you're not going to have to come back next year and ask God to forgive your sins, or the next year, or the next year, or next year. Every year they had to go, and there was a scapegoat turned loose in the wilderness every year, and they say they took the scapegoat out and threw him off of a cliff so he wouldn't come back. So he'd crash and die. Through this one, to ye the sending away of your sins. Now the word harmartion there, harmartion means that when we go out of the pathway of God. I know people say it means to miss the mark, but that's chatha. That is not a merion. This here means to go out of bounds. We go out of bounds. All of us go out of bounds. We go out of bounds before we save, and we go out of bounds after we save. But Jesus takes our sins and takes them away, and they're gone forever. Never again do we have to answer for them. And then it says, it is announced, or it is gospeled, really, from all things which not ye are able in the law of Moses to be justified. The law of Moses does not justify you. If you did this, if you went through and you took the lamb and you, in the Passover, if you took the lamb and you confessed your sins upon the lamb, and if you did all this, every year you had to do this. Sins were forgiven for a short period of time. But you never had justification ever. They were not justified in the Old Testament. Only by faith. Abraham was justified not by the offerings, but by faith. And the faith that we're justified in is God said he preached the gospel unto Abraham about the Savior, the merciful one coming and forgiving us of our sins and carrying them away. In this, everyone believing is justified. Acts 2 and 8 says, "For in grace you are having been saved through faith." And that faith didn't come from you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are Christ's workmanship. Verse number 40. Blepete un me epelthe to eremonon en tois prophetes. And he said, now I want you to look at something. Therefore, I want you to look at something. Lest something fall upon you that's having been said by the prophets. Unless something falls upon you that the prophets have before testified to. Now he's getting down to Genesis 9 and 27. And the book of Isaiah and the Psalms. Edete o kara feronte, kai thamasate, kai aphaneste te, hote ergon, ergazomenai, ego en tes hameros, hemen ergon ho u me pistuete, Ion tis ek dig ge te himen. Then it says here, I want you to understand, I want you to see something. The ones despising and the ones marveling, they shall perish. Because the work I do, in the days that you live in, a work which know not. Now look at this word ukme there. That's a double negative. A work which know not, ye believe. Except one declares it to you. Verse number 42. And we'll go back and read this all in the Amplified Bible. Axion tone, de auton parakalon, esto metazu, sabato lalethane, autois ta remata tauta. And going out from among them, many of them kept on beseeching, kept on begging, that in the intervening Sabbath, that he might speak again to them this message or this indictment, these words. And verse number 43 says, Lithases de te synagoges, akulutheson, poloi ton iudioi kai ton sebomenon, prosel. Liton to Paulo kai to Barnabas oitenes pros lalontes autois epathon autos prosomenen tain carita to Theo. And then it says, having broken up, the assembly, the synagogue, having broken up, many of the Jews and the ones worshiping proselytes, they followed after Paul and Barnabas, and speaking to them, hollering out to them, they kept on persuading them to continue in the grace of God. They kept on beseeching them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. And we'll quit right there and we'll go back and we'll read these verses in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is kind of an explanation of these things from the Greek. It says in the Amplified Bible, for this reason, in verse 35, he says also in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One, and we've said this is not the Holy One here, it is the Merciful One, which is a Jehovah title, to see corruption, or to undergo putrefaction and dissolution of the grave. Psalm 16, verse 10, actually. For David, after he had served God's will and purpose and counsel in his own generation, he fell asleep in death and was buried among his forefathers. And he did see corruption and undergo putrefaction and dissolution of the grave. But he whom God raised up to life saw no corruption. He did not experience putrefaction and dissolution and rotting of the body and the bones and the flesh. Verse 38, so let it be clearly known and understood by you, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness and removal of sins is now proclaimed to you. Jesus is the true scapegoat. They know what asaphason was. That's the term for the sending away of sins in the Old Testament. That's the term for the scapegoat, asaphason. And through him, everyone who believes, that is, who acknowledges Jesus as his Savior and devotes himself to him, is absolved and cleared and freed from every charge from which you could not be justified and freed from by the law of Moses, and giving right standing with God. You're given right standing with God. Every one of these Jews that were standing here as leaders of this synagogue did not have the forgiveness of sins. They were not justified. Only at one point of time, when that scapegoat was killed and the other one set free, and that lamb was slaughtered, only for a short moment did they have forgiveness of sins, but they were never justified at all. They only had forgiveness of sins. And then Paul says, take care, therefore. Take care, beware, therefore, lest there come upon you what is spoken of in the prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, it has the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. He said, see what is spoken about you in the prophets. Look, you scoffers and scorners, and marvel, and perish, and vanish away. For I am doing a deed in your days, in your lifetime, a deed, a work, which you will never have confidence in or believe, even if someone clearly describing it in detail declares it to you. Habakkuk 1 and 5 is what it's talking about. In Habakkuk 1 and 5 it says the very famous saying, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Habakkuk it says, the just shall live by faith. These Jews were not living by faith. They were living by works. Verse number 42 says, and they, Paul and Barnabas, went out of the synagogue. The people earnestly begged that these things might be told to them further during the next Sabbath. Verse number 43 now. And when the congregation of the synagogue dispersed, many of the Jews and the devout converts to Judaism, these are the proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas and talked to them and urged them to continue to trust themselves to and stand fast in the grace of God, that is, in the unmerited favor and blessing of God. Stand fast in it. Believe now what I've told you, he said. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Christ didn't come into this world to continue the law, but he came into this world to do what? Christ came into the world to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the type of the doves. Two doves were taken. One was had its neck wrung. Part of its neck was still connected to its body. They would drain all of the body blood into a basin that was mixed with water. And they would take another dove and they would take it and dip it completely in that blood and water. And then they would turn it loose in the sky and it'd fly away. That's you and me. Christ was a dove that died there. He was the one that had his neck wrung. Christ is the one that John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That's who he was. Christ was a scapegoat. Christ was a type of the red heifer. They'd take a red heifer and they would burn her whole body, and they'd take the ashes and mix it with water, and they would dip it in with hyssop and sprinkle it on everything. And it would purify it. Jesus Christ purifies. Jesus Christ saves us. Jesus Christ justifies us. And when the congregation of the synagogue dispersed, many of the Jews and the devout converts to Judaism, the converts heard and they listened. You know why they listened? Go back to Genesis, the 9th chapter. Genesis chapter 9. For just a moment. This is extremely important. Genesis chapter 9. Let's read here. And verse number 27. "And may God enlarge Japheth." Those proselytes were Japhethites. "And may God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant." He said, let Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. Now Shem means what? Name or monument. Through Shem, the gospel would come. Remember that woman down, that Syrophoenician woman down there? She came to Jesus and she had a problem. And she was following him around, begging him to help her. And Jesus said, "I have come unto the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come to the dogs." She was a dog. And what did she say to Jesus? Do you remember? "But even the puppies the scraps from the master's table." And he said, "I haven't seen such faith in Israel." The man, the centurion that built the synagogue, came and asked for help of Jesus that he would heal his family, his child. And Jesus said, and what did the man say to Jesus? He said, I'm going to tell you something, Lord, Savior, Messiah. He said, "I am a man that has had great authority over many men. And this is a Gentile saying this now. And this Gentile said, I am a man that has authority over many men. And when I tell one man to go this, go here and do that, he does it. And when I tell another man, he does that." He said, "Jesus, you don't have to go see my daughter or my son. You don't have to go to my home. All you have to do is just say the word and it'll be done. Because you have power over all things." And Jesus said again, what? "I have not seen such faith in Israel." Remember when the woman that we call Mary Magdalene came to Jesus? She had been a prostitute. She was a wayward woman. She was a very wealthy woman. She brought some very valuable spices and perfume. And she was weeping at his feet. And her tears, she was washing his feet with her tears, and maybe even the what we might call the habits, the customs of the people, the women at that time. They would every time they cried at a funeral, or every time they cried at a wedding, they would catch the tears in a tear bottle. And that tear bottle was supposed to be buried with them in their grave. That represented all the joys and all the sadness in their life, represented all the emotions that they would ever have. Many people believe that Mary Magdalene, when she did this, she not only washed his feet with the tears from her eyes, but she took and broke the tear bottle open and she poured a whole all of her life at Jesus' feet. All the joys, all the sadness, she poured at Jesus' feet. And then it says she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. She wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And also women would carry, when they combed their hair, they had a hair bowl and they would put their hair in it. And they would weave that hair into little, like a placemat, and sometimes different kinds of little objects. And many times those little objects would be buried with them also. This woman was so happy that Jesus had forgiven her of her sins. It says that she had seven demons in her, remember that? And he cast out the demons. Now the woman was free. The woman could follow Jesus, could follow her master. And she did. She was one of the very first ones that saw Jesus raised from the dead. She was a Gentile. It says here again, may God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem and let Canaan be his servant. The Gentiles would believe there's going to be a great transition in the kingdom of God from the Jews that had been so proud. God to the Jews was a national treasure, an asset. But now the God of the Jews was going to turn against them for a time because they had turned against the Messiah, the King of Israel. Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? Marilyn, do you have any questions about the Sharon?
Not right now.
No, I don't think I have. It's just that, you know, I mean, that's just a real powerful stuff.
Yes, it is. The forgiveness of sins, justification, that God would now make a great movement, that he would go from those that the Jews called the dogs, and that he would walk off and leave the Jews as if they were dogs because they had become dogs. Remember in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen stood up and he preached the gospel message. He started all the way back from the book of Genesis and Exodus. And he got all of those Jews' attention and he said, you know, God has called us out to be the messengers of the mankind. And we were the ones down in Egypt. We were mistreated. We were taken out with a high hand, etc., etc. Then he called out Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then he brought us into this land. And he promised us a Messiah, a king, the seed of the woman. And what did he say? You crucified the God of glory. And they stoned him. And then they went literally, in the Greek language, it says they literally bit him with their teeth. Like a brawler in some bar someplace, some animal. Like a dog, they bit him with their teeth. Yeah, this is a tremendous message. It's a tremendous message to the Jews, a message to the Jews. This is their last chance. God said, this is your last chance. Don't forget it. Your last chance. Now listen, he said. And what did they do? We're going to find out in the next Marilyn.
I just was wondering if they still feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they still feel like that today. You heard that Jew on the radio when I talked about it.
Yeah, I'm a Jew.
I'm a Jew. I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. I don't believe that story. And they said that he was just an illegitimate child of some Roman soldier because he had blue eyes and blonde hair. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this message from your word. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for justification, because we couldn't do it on our own. And Father, use this message to touch the world and to heal the wounds. And again, I pray for our president. I pray for our leaders. We need them to stand up and be strong right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, touch hearts out there all over the world. And please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray.